ho, ho, ho.
This is Vancouver Giants This Week on Sportsnet 650, a presentation of White Spot. Now, here's your host, Brooke Ward.
The crowd is just on its feet here. He's a Cinderella boy.
Ho, ho, ho.
Hello, hockey fans, and welcome to another edition of White Spot. Vancouver Giants This Week on the mighty Sportsnet Radio Network. The mighty 650. Catching on. The mighty, that phrase. The mighty 650. Sportsnet 650 Radio, the voice of the Vancouver Giants. The voice of everything sports. Everything that matters in sports. That's Sportsnet 650. If it matters, it happens here. And if it happens here, it matters. That ain't bad either. I'm Brooke, Bill Wilms. In about 30 seconds or so, we're going to get sink our teeth into this show in a big hurry. Bill's going to join us in just a couple moments. We're lining him up on the phone board today. Celebrating a birthday today, I understand. I will confirm momentarily with Mr. Wilms, if he's willing to admit it. Also later in the program, Joe Aginla, Parker Burgess, the head coach. I spoke with both of those post-game yesterday, after both of those fine people. Post-game yesterday, after the Giants dropped a hard-fought 3-1 decision to Seattle at the LEC. The prospect game is tomorrow night. The Giants are on the road on Friday night, back home on Saturday. They're in Spokane on Friday, back home on Saturday, hosting Portland at the Langley Event Center. And sandwiched in the middle of all that is the prospect game at the LEC tomorrow night. It's going to be a fun time will be had by all, I must say. We're going to hear from the league commish a little later on in the program as well. As Joe Aginla, Parker Burgess, talked to them yesterday. I'll roll that and toss it your direction in just a couple of moments. It's the place to be, the mighty 650. As promised, Bill Wilms is now with us. Hello, Mr. Wilms. How are you?
I am absolutely super good. Thank you.
Happy birthday. I believe it's your birthday today. Am I accurate?
I guess so. I've heard that.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Yeah, very, very thankful. Wow. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Eve make a cake? Your lovely bride, Eve? Did you get a cake? Or did you, you know, is she, by the way, prepared to have you around more if you're not doing Giants games next year?
I don't know. Wow. I don't know. She's got quite an active life. I have to ask her pretty much every day, what are you doing today? But no cake. I'm at a point where the candles cost way more than the cake.
Cause a fire, set off the smoke alarm.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But we will go to Quinn's, Pat Quinn's restaurant tonight. We have a reservation there, and that's a wonderful place. People that know...
it's beautiful.
No, Tawassa Springs will attest to, and the golf course is pretty good, too.
Good. Well, maybe get in 9, too.
Yeah.
You know, be dark out, but, you know, I know it's dark out, but you get 9 in.
Hey, Brooke, I played 4 times last week. I mean, come on. I had a guy from, I played twice, and then
wow.
I had a friend from Kelowna come down, and we had to play a couple more times. One was a 9-hole round, but... I'm thinking to myself, boy, I tell you, you know, I got to keep moving. Good.
I know. You don't want anyone to catch up to you, for one thing. But, keep the body moving more than anything.
Don't let the old man in.
Oh, man. I'm trying to keep, he's knocking at my door, Bill. That's all
no,
I can do.
No. You're a long way away. He's about 14, 15 miles away for you.
Wow. I don't know. I have an alarm on my door for that right now and triple deadbolts. Trying to keep
gotcha.
The old man out. So far, so good. But anyway, happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you.
Enjoy your dinner tonight with the wonderful Eve. By the way, speaking of golf, Bill has the golf card, discountgolfcard.ca, if I remember the name correctly, Bill. And a brand new card is coming out April 1st, basically?
Yeah, April 1st, yeah.
Wow. Discountgolfcard.ca.
And no sooner, because we don't want anybody, it does not mix it up cards. Anyway,
I got you.
They'll be a different color, so they're identifiable for 2026. And yeah, no, in fact, it's funny you should mention that. I'm just working on that as you phone.
Awesome. Good for you. Yeah, discount golf card takes you from April to the end of March of next year, and then they change colors, so you can't sneak one by the goalie. No Michigan.
Can't go 5-hole.
Yeah, no 5-hole, no Michigan with the discount golf card. A brand new one, discount golf all over the Lower Mainland. Check it out, discountgolfcard.ca. Bill Wilms, happy birthday to you. I want to talk to you, obviously, about tomorrow night and what it means to the players, another opportunity with the prospects game. But the weekend, the Giants have come off. I'll include Friday, Saturday, and yesterday's Monday game in the weekend, a 1-2 weekend for the Giants. Overall, Bill, what did you think?
Well, you know, obviously Friday was a great night. Pine had to be perfect in the first period for Vancouver to play Penticton, and you know, Giants opened the scoring and went on to you know, a shootout win. I thought Oreskovic was very good, and you know, playing against Penticton, a number 10 team in Canada, and you know, I think they've now set a record. Or at least tied a record. They were on the verge of making history, and I think it's happened where an expansion team for wins. They've tied, I know for sure they've tied Everett with 35 wins for an expansion team, and that goes back to 2003-04, and 37 CHL wins. Long Bay, I think they say to the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League back in 82-83. So they are quite a story, and you know, Brooke, they always come in with you know, a boatload of high-age players, and they perform pretty well. I mean, again, they're going with 4 20-year-olds and 12 19s, and you know, I spoke with their owner before the game, and he said, yeah, we had to make a statement this year. We couldn't build on the future. It had to be, look, we're a winning team. And as I said on the pregame show, they had a stretch in the BCHL for 2 years back to back. Brooke, did you know they won 50 games at home in a row? The Penticton's used to winners, obviously, but let me tell you, there's a dilemma when you're going with so many old guys, and I hate to say old at 19. I can't believe I'm even saying that.
Yeah,
but,
I hear you.
You know, they got 4 20s, 12 19s. That's 16 players, of which they're only going to get 3 back. The 20s are out. The 19-year-olds will turn 20, and they can keep 3. They can't keep 4 again. So of those guys, they only get 16 players. They get 3 back, and that's it. So it'll be a rebuild next year. But
can't you just,
you know, from
can't,
the scouting?
How tough is it to load up on 19-year-olds? So if they have 10 skaters, both their goalies are 19 too.
Yeah.
But they have 10 skaters. So if you can only keep 3 in total, how tough is it to go out and find quality 19-year-olds, Bill? In other words, could you do that every year?
Well, you remember, they're given to them. I mean, they were available. They got them for free. I mean, they made trades for a couple of them. So you got to now you've got nobody handing you players. Yeah. And that was the expansion is tough. I mean, when Vancouver Giants went through, it was a difficult challenger that first year, and they're just doing exactly the opposite. But, you know, they had a history of winning there too.
So you can't do that every year, right? Just find 10,
well, they never will. No. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how you get them.
Yeah.
They got one 18-year-old that is their leading scorer and will be on U.S. World Junior team next year. He just missed out this year. He was the last cut, Jacob Kvasnika. I mean, he'll be a 19. I don't know.
Yeah.
Man, you gotta scout like crazy.
Yes, you would, and you'd have to. Then other teams that can only keep 3, you could try to pick off their 19-year-olds, but other teams are trying to pick off their 19. I'm just looking at the process of going. You know what? If you could load up with 19-year-olds, you might not win the cup, which is the goal, but you're going to finish in the top 4 every year. And you know, is there something to that? But you have to find quality 19-year-olds.
Oh yeah, they're not out there. You have to. This is a case where you have to be completely familiar with every team's roster. You have to know not only who their 19-year-olds are or 18-year-olds are, all the other teams in the league. You got to know where they fit into that team's plans.
The puzzle, part of the puzzle.
Yeah, I thought Scott Bonner was as good as anybody I've ever seen when he was a GM with the Vancouver Giants. You know, the other thing, when you watch those older players, there's a little dilemma there from a scouting standpoint too, and that is, believe it or not, you know, scouts look at 19-year-olds and say, you know, wonder if they've peaked as future pros. This is why the prospects game is all about 17-year-olds. Those are your key guys. That's what central scouting is all about. They will let you know. They will let any teams in hockey, and especially GMs in the National Hockey, they'll rank all the 17-year-olds for you. And any 18s that have late birthdays, the 17s that have late birthdays, they're after September 15th. But when you're a 19-year-old, I hate to say it, you know, and it's true.
Yeah,
it's
you're
true.
Looking for a spot next year, maybe. Now what?
Well, exactly, because as a scout, they say, hey, you've reached your peak. And It's a fact. Players do reach their peak, some in junior. I've known a player in Portland and won the scoring championship in the league 2 years in a row, and he peaked. He never got a crack at pro hockey. And that'll happen.
Yeah.
That's the downside of your older teams. But it's great for the fans because they're winning. And as I said, they've already set a couple of records for expansion team success.
I'm not done with the Giants on the weekend, Bill, but it just came to mind. I counted the 10, you know, there's 10. Giants have 3 20-year-olds. One of them's in goal. But that'd be four, actually, because Pine's the 20-year-old, and I've lost count. Anyway, of their 20-year-olds, they've got like 14 goals out of them. And of the 10 skaters with Penticton, and 94 goals going to the Giants game with all those skaters. So I'm like, well, there's more of them, but you're getting 10 goals apiece from every 19-year-old you have.
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, that way to look that up. That's awesome.
And the Giants' 19-year-olds, forgive me, I misspeak. The Giants' 19-year-olds, they have three, and they have like 14 goals between them. So they're getting five apiece out of their 19-year-olds, and the other guys loaded up heavy, and they're getting, on average, right, 10 apiece on average.
Yeah, well, that's always a benchmark for me. I went through that once before. And again, you know what? We, for the 100th time, we've talked about the absence of Ryan Lynn and Mathis Preston, and that help other guys. People don't realize how much them being out of the lineup hurt other players from getting 10 goals and more. Mm. And, you know, because they produce so much offense. But, we just blow through it quickly. Kelowna was another story. I mean, that was that 8-2 loss. And, you know, there's an adage that says pleasures are intermissions to pain. And obviously, that's pretty obvious this season with the Vancouver Giants. I mean, they had pleasure the night before and less than 24 hours later. It's back to pain. It was inexcusable. The start was, you know, really quite awful. There wasn't a whole lot of guys wanting to do the heavy lifting, and I didn't think there were many layers of defense, which you speak of. Seeing that whenever a Kelowna Rocket would beat that first line of defense, they ended up with access to the net, and you just can't do that. You know, there's that saying, you know better than anybody, that proves, you can't win the game in the first period, but you can lose it, and that clearly happened for me in Kelowna. Now, I want to address something here. You know, the word quitting, players quitting or not trying comes up from time to time in these situations, and I had never, ever, ever bought into that mentality, to that thinking. I just don't think it happens. But they don't quit, and this is a little bit of a problem. I think that they probably sulk, and when you're a sulking player, you know, you can get your team into all kinds of trouble. And it's hard not to sulk when you haven't scored a lot of goals, you haven't had a lot of success, and you come out and you kind of think, okay, here we go again, before you know it, the first period's over and you're down 5-0. So, you know, but good thing that they got back, you know, a couple of days later against Seattle. And what did you think of that game last night?
I thought that, you know,
the crowd.
Yep, good crowd. I thought the 50-50 draw was impressive. There was $18,000 went out the door to someone in the 50-50 draw. That was pretty cool. And they held
carriage. How much?
$18,000. There was a $5,700 carryover. And then because of that, from an unclaimed 50-50 from a couple games ago, and then the 50-50, it was $18,000. So, I mean, there was 20 ballparking, $26,000 yesterday in sales of the 50-50. I got to look it up again. It's just mind-boggling. It was a record.
Yeah.
And then add the $5,000 to it after you split the 26 in half. And it was like 18 G's. Hello. Welcome to the game.
Do you buy a ticket?
I do not. No. I just count the 10 bucks as a win that I don't spend on tickets every game, you know. And I feel like I'm up about $30,000 over my career or something like that. But otherwise, they held Schmidt off the board yesterday. He had that breakaway, and Pine made a terrific save on it. But shorthanded second period, as he waltzed in like we've seen him so many times, Bill, in Vancouver colors, I thought, well, that's goal. And Pine stopped them.
Yeah, and you know the save he made in the first period, Matthew Gard, he throws a puck to Schmidt, goes down that right side, throws it to Gard in front of that, and it's a tap-in. It's a 6-inch putt. The net's wide open, and he made some incredible save.
Pine's been a big find for them this year as a 20-year-old to first maybe Burkhood to learn off of too.
Yeah, no kidding. And you know what? He's been, he's getting angry at times. And you know what he did late? I mean, that was unfortunate. I thought that the couple penalty calls late in the game. It far be it for me to say it cost them the game, but it certainly took away any chance that they got with the extra attacker on the ice to finish with a final push. You know, instead, they score an empty netter, makes it 3-1. And but I thought the start was great. Tittleback back in the lineup gave some speed. I think that impacts the game because he is able to drive a team's defense back. Tomic, I thought he was great in the first period. Chorny crashing the net. Oreskovic, a backhand pass. Aginla, in the slot. Giants, ironically, in that first period had 6 shots on goal, and I figure 4 of the 6 were great chances. And, the Pine save, as we've talked about, was great. On the weekend, I mean, what can we take from this team? They're close. There are games that are very, very close, but when you lose, that kind of offense, I think,
You're trying to win 2-1 almost.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, the game yesterday Pine slashed somebody late, took a major, faces possible suspension. Was suspended for a game earlier this year too. You don't stand on my blue paint, if you will. But the empty netter actually counted against Pine because Pine was on his, what a ripoff, because he was on his way to the bench.
Yeah.
And he hadn't got there yet, and then the puck turned over, and as he's basically at the bench, and then Sawyer Mays from his own end picks up the loose puck and buries it as he's standing 4 feet away from the bench, basically. You're like, hey, man, I wasn't even there, but it hurts at save percentage.
But otherwise,
I like guys who are mad at the world now and then, but not necessarily do I need my goaltender to be one of them.
Yeah, well, you know what? I mean, he's played so well, and I think he's only got the 5 wins.
Yeah.
And that's, finally, as a 20-year-old, don't forget, he's trying to get a contract too, as a 20-year-old, and he's certainly got some of the credentials. But have I got time to talk about a couple guys?
You do. I just want to drop one more pine on you. .899 save percentage with the Giants in his 27 games.
Yeah.
And only 5 wins. But you're like, wow. Like he's 5.16-1, Bill, but you pretty well got a .900 save percentage. You play. It's just that the other guys just keep throwing 40 and 50 pucks at you every night.
Well, that .900, round that off. That's incredible.
Yeah.
That is. I knew it was late 800s, but if he's at 899 after the game, that's incredible. You'd get mad too with that kind of save percentage of the goaltender and not getting the support, not getting the goals. Yeah.
And that's 899 in Vancouver. He played a couple of games with Regina earlier this year that factors into his overall save percentage. But a 385 goals against average with the Giants, with the amount of rubber those guys see, that ain't bad, actually, in the .900 save or .899 save percentage. So, anyway, you were saying the standouts for you over the weekend, or what jumps out at you, player wise?
Well, the fairly new guys. Okay, I think I'm really high on Sam Charco, number 24. Okay, now this kid's an 18-year-old, so he's got hockey left in him, and we have to look at his career really closely. As a 16-year-old in Seattle, he played 58 games. He only had 3 assists. Okay. Now he goes to a 17-year-old, and that's a pretty significant jump. And then 17 to 18 and so on and so forth. You can become pretty good hockey players as a 17-year-old. He plays 60 games and he gets 8 goals, 8 assists, 16 points. Okay. I'm starting to say that 8 goals on a Seattle team that wasn't, really a top challenger. That's good. So I'm really excited about his 18th year when I'm looking at this closely. Guess what? He gets cut at Seattle. He's the last player cut on their team. I asked their play-by-play guy yesterday about that, Tom Buning, and he said he wasn't sure. All he knew is he was the last cut. He goes to Vernon in the BCHL, plays 31 games. That's where he is right, where we got him from. He got 10 goals, 8 assists, 18 points. That BCHL, that's significant. And in Vancouver, he's played 11 games. And I think, in my opinion, I would watch this guy closely for next season. He needs to feel that the coaches have a lot of confidence in him. And I think you're going to see somebody special. I thought that game against Penticton, he was, and the coach said after the game, he felt he was the key guy out there as well. I thought his forechecking, his speed, you know, he's a big guy. You know, he's 194 pounds and he can fly. And I didn't mind Polinchuk at all. He's going to be good. He got suspended in the last game. And the last guy I want to talk about is Joey Ginla. He'd be playing in the prospects game, right? He has 35 shots on goal for Vancouver, which is about four a game. And Brooke, here's what I want to say. I think it's really critical that he finds the right line mates. I think with his ability to shoot the puck and release the puck, you got to get players with him that will make him able to find that strength on the ice, to set him up. I mean, he's coming in, and he had a two-on-one the other night, and he just passed it. He could have, shot it. He could have passed it. Would have been a better play, but he's so intent on scoring, and he will be. Okay, he'll be a goal scorer. He already is. He's the youngest 16-year-old to ever get, youngest player actually for Edmonton Oil Kings to ever get a hat trick when he played with Edmonton. He's got it. There's something there, and he's got to find some chemistry with the right guys. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, for next year, that's going to be one of the most important things, because he can be a big time sniper. And it's like his brother Tej in Kelowna. You know, he's played with the same guys on a line. They don't mix that up at all. They don't change it from game to game. And sometimes when you're not scoring goals, Brooke, you know, you're as a coaching staff, you're trying to find somebody to do it. You're trying to find the right combinations. And many times it takes two to make a really successful line. And the third guy is a complementary piece, but they all work together so that the three, you know, are more than the sum of the parts. And I like what he's doing, but I think that's going to be critical. Maybe not so much for the end of this season, but hopefully so. He's got to get the right line mates. That's going to be a challenge, as far as I'm concerned, for the coaching staff. But Charco, Ginla, and Polinchuk, I think, are a big, seriously, could be a big part of the Giants' future. And, you know, at 18 years old and 17, two at 18 and one at 17.
Joe Ginla, by the way, I talked to him after the game yesterday. I'm going to run the interview in our second segment here, Bill. But it was interesting. Just a quick sidebar with his dad, Jerome Ginla. He told me that his dad still films or takes film off the internet, whatever, breaks it down game after game, and basically every game sends him tips, do's and don'ts that he still gets from his dad on a regular basis.
Do you think Jerome knows anything about hockey?
I think so. Huh? And his and Joe was really cool. Jerome was always the greatest guy to interview because he was never had the smile was never off his face. He understood media. He seemed to like doing media. You'd get good answers and thoughtful answers and things like that. And Joe's on the same pace, I should say. I don't know about Tej. I've never interviewed him, but yeah, man. Hey, Joe's coming up next. So, and you tomorrow.
That's appropriate.
You and Nathan tomorrow will call the prospect game. Correct on Victory as well?
No.
No Victory?
It is Victory, but I understand they have their own people coming in for that. And you know, honestly, I don't know who they are.
Oh, I thought it was you and Nathan, frankly.
No, they got guys coming in.
Well.
And you know, it's certainly interesting to watch some of the things you know, with what you're looking at there for prospects. There's so many scouts, or you know this, I think we talked about it last time, there's so many scouts and GMs in the building from the NHL, they're going to have their own pregame meal downstairs in the banquet room. But it'll be interesting to watch. There's so many cool things, you know. I mean, you know, when you watch these at this talent level and the transition game, for example, whenever they get the puck, this elite level player knows that transition is showtime, that they can produce kind of goosebump minutes with that. And, you know, it's just interesting to see how they make offensive plays, in the other team's end. They don't just, you'll see very few dump-ins, I think, in my opinion. I'm not sure, but I've seen in the past that this level of skill, you know, when they make line rushes, I mean, you'll see that all night long. It'll always turn into an offensive chance in the other team's end, and that's such a big big difference too. So, you know, again, 17-year-olds, you know, the biggest thing I think for coach or scouts and GMs is they're looking at guys, so you know, who are the guys that are going to shine, you know, if they get the right polish. And this is why I think it's fascinating. And I'm just happy to even, you know, to be there to be part of it, even though we're not on Victory, but we will be on radio.
Okay, cool. Well, at least you're on 650 tomorrow. So, but yeah, I just assumed too, over flipping the switch, that you guys are on the other side too. But it'll be good to see you, pal. And I look forward to that tomorrow. And Joe Aginla is coming up next, and Parker Burgess is coming up next. We're going to hear from the league commissioner a little bit too, Bill. And they all say happy birthday.
Thank you.
Bill Wilms, ladies and gentlemen, that's part one of two on White Spot, Vancouver Giants this week on the Mighty 650, the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This is Vancouver Giants this week on Sportsnet 650. Now, Brooke Ward.
Part two of two, the big show, Vancouver Giants this week, presentation of White Spot. Indeed, I am Brooke Ward. Thanks, Bro Jake, for that intro. Part two of two. After a rousing part one with Billy Wilms. It is birthday today, by the way, for Bill Wilms. So, yeah, happy birthday, Bill. I better have the day right. He's like 45 now, I think. Bill. Been with the Giants for 25 years. Bill Wilms started when he was 20. 45 years old, Bill Wilms. Coming up in this segment, we're going to hear a little bit of Ron Toigo in a couple minutes. And then Dan Neer, the WHL commissioner, as they spoke last week, actually, at a press conference, talking about tomorrow night's WHL prospect game. But just for more flavor of that, then some Joe Aginla from the G-Men, the former oil king from Edmonton, the son of Jerome. Talked with him after the game yesterday. So some Joe Aginla, who's playing in the game tomorrow night, one of the newer Giants, and Parker Burgess, too. I talked with him post-game last night as well about how things are going for the Giants, as well as looking ahead to what some of the guys can maybe get out of the WHL prospect game, too. So lots of stuff coming up on the big program, part two of two. The Giants themselves, they are back at it on home ice on Saturday night, when they host Cam Neely's old Portland Winterhawks. I'm old enough to remember Cam Neely playing vividly. I'm old enough to remember Cam Neely playing for the Portland Winterhawks. That's how old I am. I don't know if anybody else in the room's that old. Maybe Bill, because he had another year onto his dance card with his birthday today. But otherwise, Portland, Saturday night, Giants and the Winterhawks. But tomorrow night, the big WHL prospect game. Tickets, if they're still available, if they're already available. WHL prospect game tomorrow. Giants on Friday night as they take on Portland. VancouverGiants.com/tickets. Now, a little bit of Ron Toigs, as I like to call them. A little bit of Ron Toigo for you into Dan Neer, the league commish, as we get ready for that WHL prospect game tomorrow night. It's going to be a beauty, as Graves would say. Here's Ron Toigo.
I want to thank Dan and the WHL for awarding us the prospects game. It's something the Vancouver Giants have a long history of doing very well in the city, and being, you know, the fans of Vancouver always come out to events and support them as good as anybody. We had a bit of a short runway on this one, but by all accounts, it looks like we're going to have a full building. It should be a lot of fun, and we're going to have a good number of Giants to participate in it as well. So, thanks, Dan, and I'll introduce Dan Neer, the Commissioner of the Western Hockey League. Thank you.
I want to start by thanking the Toigos, Ron, Peter, and the family, to Dale Sipe and the entire staff from both the Vancouver Giants and the Langley Event Center for their outstanding commitment and support in hosting this marquee event. I know Ron's appreciative that it was awarded. We're equally appreciative that they've put their hand up and said that we can do this. I'd also like to recognize our presenting sponsor, ShowPass. Without their support, this event wouldn't be possible. We presented them an idea to create this exciting experience for WHL players and fans, and they got it right away. We're thrilled to be working alongside ShowPass. When we set out to create the WHL Prospects game, our aim was to create a platform for the WHL's best, brightest, draft-eligible players to compete in front of NHL scouts while putting on a world-class show for fans. For a WHL player, their draft year represents a lead-up to a substantial milestone, personally and in their hockey career. Day in, day out, each of the 44 players named to this year's event are training, competing, and working to prepare themselves for that moment as they seek an opportunity to pursue a career in the National Hockey League. This is central to what we do. The WHL is a premier development league. Our 23 clubs' core mission is to provide players with the absolute best in development resources and opportunities to help them achieve their ultimate goal, to one day play in the NHL while in parallel preparing them for life. We're excited to add the WHL Prospects Game to our annual calendar. It not only provides the players a chance to showcase their abilities in 60 minutes of best-on-best hockey, but it gives the WHL a chance to show the world what kind of league we are. So how talented are these players? NHL Central Scouting has 10 current WHL players ranked among the top 32 North American skaters for the 2026 NHL Draft. That's over 30% of the best skaters in North America playing right here in the Western League. And every single night, every single one of them has been invited to participate in this event. Among those 10 are members of the leadership group for both clubs. On Team East, Captain Daxon Rudolph of the Prince Albert Raiders, he's ranked 6th among North American skaters by NHL Central Scouting. Ben McBeth of the Calgary Hitmen ranks 20th among North American skaters by NHL Central Scouting. And finally, hailing from BC's Okanagan region, the Ruck Twins of the Medicine Hat Tigers, Liam is ranked 26th and Marcus is ranked 31st among North American skaters by NHL Central Scouting. Team West's leadership group features another impressive group of the top 32 skaters. Carson Carls of the Prince George Cougars will be their captain. He's ranked 3rd among North American skaters. J.P. Hurlburt of the Kamloops Blazers, ranked 10th, is a player who's taken advantage of the changing landscape and eligibility rules to join the Western League this year and has had an immediate impact and has seen a commensurate rise to his draft stock. And finally, and he's here today, the hometown hero Ryan Lynn of the Vancouver Giants is ranked 13th by NHL Central Scouting. We're a results-based league. Our operating model, our exceptional standards, position clubs to develop these players on and off the ice. The WHL boasts an NHL-like schedule that prepares players for pro hockey, and it offers elite coaching and extensive professional and international experience. For the best players in Western Canada and the Western U.S., the WHL is the number one destination for NHL prospects. We can't wait to show off their immense potential.
Dan Neer, Western Hockey League Commissioner, along with Ron Toigo, Toigs, as I call him, off the top here, part 2 of 2. Prospect game tomorrow night again. It's a 7 o'clock start. Well, I was going to say WHL.com for tickets. I was going to screw that up immensely. VancouverGiants.com/tickets if there are any left for the big game tomorrow night. By the way, the Monday afternoon family day, 50-50 draw. You want to get in on the 50-50 draw. Someone went home with $18,000. There was a $5,700 carryover from an unclaimed 50-50 draw, ouch, from a couple of games ago. That carried over, but then as people saw that and eyes lit up more so than usual, the pot swelled over the main pot over $20,000 in the main pot, and it set a new record for 50-50. For the Giants at the Langley Event Center. So they split the main pot, and then they dropped an extra $5,000 in there, and so there was like $26,000, give or take, in the main pot. That's crazy. And then they dropped an extra $5,000, and if I remember the math correctly, someone walked out of there with $18,000. Almost enough to pay for Christmas and Valentine's together and maybe a tank of gas. 18 G's. Get it on the 50-50 draw. You can't win without a ticket. It could be you. You can do it tomorrow night, WHL Prospect Game. Joe Aginla, also. I talked with him after the Giants game yesterday, the 3-1 defeat at the hands of the T-Birds from Seattle, the former Edmonton Oil King, the son of Jerome Aginla. Looking forward to the Prospect Game tomorrow. Show his skills. More scouts in a draft year. Why not? But also not minding the move to Vancouver at all and being, I guess, certainly closer to home than Edmonton when it comes to family and friends. The pride of Lake Country, British Columbia. I chatted with him yesterday.
Yeah, it's been fun, you know, getting to know the boys, new place, got to play a lot. So, yeah, I've been enjoying it so far, and I'm excited to see what keeps on going.
Is it coming home? Does it feel like a coming home, just that you're a BC boy?
I mean, it's definitely nice to go play Kelowna more. Obviously, haven't done great against them yet, but we're hoping to. But I think, like, it's a completely different place, so I think it's nice to be closer to home, but at the end of the day, it's just a... another place, you know?
What's Lake Country, BC like? Because it sounds like a place you want to go.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of lakes. I think you could probably guess that. It's hot most of the time. Not warmer than Edmonton. Yeah. But, yeah, I think it's a nice place. If you ever get the chance, you should probably visit it.
Other than lakes, what do you do? What do you do for recreation in Lake Country?
I just do hockey. I
don't... What do other people do?
Other than lakes, I don't think much. Maybe some golf. But, yeah, the Aginlas, man, we don't get up to too much.
Is the whole family, what other sports do the family play? Other than, I know hockey, but anyone pick up the sticks? Are they curling or anyone doing anything?
No, definitely not curling, but we lived in the States, so that never really was a big sport there. Yeah. We all played baseball, softball growing up. I dabbled in some soccer, a little bit of basketball recreationally, you know. I think we play pretty much every sport as long as we can compete and beat each other.
What's the, oh, there you go, brotherly competition or fatherly competition, maybe?
And my sister, we all want to win.
Wow, well, that's good, you want to win. And generally, the other guy, if I had to ask you what your, if you weren't a hockey player, because you play all these other sports, what's your second best sport and why?
Probably would have been baseball.
Yeah.
I had a long way to go if I was going to make that a career, but it's definitely my second best. I peak of my career, I had a 3-home run game.
Yeah.
Never hit one before, never hit one after. But for that one game, I was pretty darn good. So that was fun.
What position are you?
I was a catcher.
Ooh, very interesting, because I think I'd be thinking you're a shortstop or you have wheels, so you're a center fielder. But catcher, that's a position you could play goal here then if you wanted to.
I mean, baseball is just kind of boring when you don't touch the ball. So it was pitcher or catcher, right? To touch the ball as much as you could, so I chose catcher.
Well, I used to play goal. I like goal because you never had to leave the ice, and you're always in the middle of things. What was life in Edmonton like for you, by the way, with that hockey club, or just the living out of Edmonton?
Yeah, it was fun. I had a good time overall. I lived with my grandpa, so that was nice. Got to be close to home a little bit. It was cold. The one thing I don't miss about Edmonton, definitely the weather. I'm happy to be gone from that, but other than that, overall, I think I had a pretty good time.
How much more do you see of your family, your dad, your family, that at least you're out here on the coast?
Probably a little less, actually.
Why?
I had a really good situation in Edmonton. We owned the duplex, and I lived with my grandpa on one side, and my parents owned the other. So they would come visit a lot compared to here, where they don't visit as much. But
I figure your dad, the whole family would be down here all the time. No excuse.
That's what I thought. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, they're busy with Tiege and everything.
I hear you. Busy with Tiege, yes. The forgotten one. Oh, yeah, well, he's up there closer, I guess. But,
yeah, he lives with them.
Oh, does he too? Okay,
well. They leave him.
Can't get rid of him. He can't get rid of him. The prospects game, just your thoughts of playing in that game and what to look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely exciting. It's obviously nice that it's local, that we got to stay here and play in front of our own fans. But yeah, obviously I want to win it. I want to score some goals, and I want to show what I can do.
Is this a good move for you, moving from Edmonton to Vancouver? And then I'll also ask you why, but if you moved out to this place, what changes with opportunity?
Oh, I love it. I mean, obviously Edmonton, great team, great organization. They're really good, which is a good thing, right? Because obviously I want to go all the way, win it. But you also don't play as much when you're on like a low-loaded roster like that. So it was nice for my development to come here, and I got to play like power play, 4-on-4. So I think the best part for me is development and getting to play more and try to work on things.
Do you know the trade's coming? Did you know this was coming at all? Do you get a hint at this level?
Oh, yeah. I knew it was coming.
You knew where you were going?
I had a rough idea. A couple teams.
Okay, that's good. But, well, we're glad you're here. And among other things, just getting involved with new teammates, the adjustment, new coaching staff, learning new things. Is it all hockey, or does that take some time?
I mean, it's all right. Like, it's all hockey. You've been playing it for your whole life. Play through a lot of different systems or with different teammates. It was nice to get to know the boys pretty quick. Obviously, good friend Brett Olson kind of showed me the ropes. So I think it's been a pretty easy adjustment.
A couple more quickies for you. One is, whose poster was on your wall growing up? Did you have to have your dad's poster on the wall? Whose poster was on your wall, hockey-wise, growing up?
You know, like those fat heads? They're like the big stickers of people on the wall. I have one of Ovi. I was a big Ovi fan growing up.
Best part of your game. What do you think the best part of your game is?
I mean, I want to say my shot. A tough night tonight. I wasn't really ripping it, but I think overall my shot's definitely my best part.
What do you have to work on if there's something?
I want to work on my skating. I want to carry the puck more, be faster, and it's always a good thing to work on to get to the next level.
Does Dad give you advice, or does Dad lay off?
Dad does not lay off.
Wow. What's the advice? Such as?
Oh, well, I mean, like everything, right? But he sends me videos, like, of my clips after the game with a voiceover. Sometimes it's fun to watch. A lot of the time, not so much, but it gets you better.
It gets you better. I just remember interviewing your dad so many times as a reporter here in Vancouver. He gets media, is what I want to say. He smiled. He liked it. He appreciated media. Do you find yourself the same? Because as a reporter, we love that.
I try my best, right? Yeah, he was pretty good with the media, so I try to do the best I can.
Have a great game Wednesday. Terrific to see you here, my brother, and the draft's coming up, too. That ought to be a lot of fun. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Joe Ginla, number 22 in your Vancouver Giants program. Former Oil King. He'll play tomorrow night in the WHL prospect game. That'll be cool. By the way, I believe I mentioned this earlier, but my mind draws a blank. As you're well aware, if you've followed me through the years, it's not uncommon. Parker Burgess is going to be an assistant coach behind the bench for the West team tomorrow. He's going to have Michael Bublé with him. And then on the East side, Drew Scott's going to be down there helping him coach out on the East side. A couple of the co-owners or influential owners? Okay, part owners of the Vancouver Giants. And Bublé and Drew Scott. So Burgess gets Bublé. And Bublé and Drew Scott, they have a bet. That if Bublé wins on Team West, Drew Scott has to renovate Bublé's house. And if Drew Scott wins on the East side, then Bublé has to serenade Drew Scott's mother via video with a song or two. This bet is so lopsided. Like, I don't know who's going to win. But renovate my house? How many rooms are we talking here? Because they don't specify. So Bublé, I mean, he sings every day. So, I mean, it's just, okay, someone record it. And then he'll serenade Drew Scott. It should be live and in person, by the way. At least that part from Bublé's standpoint. Look, because this is a lopsided bet. Renovate my house or serenade your mother. Not that that's not a small thing, serenading one's mother. But renovate my house or I sing every day. It should be in person. It shouldn't be via video. Man, Bublé's turtling here. But the wager here, way heavier, I think. Your house? Renovate your house? Or you serenade my mom? Drew Scott's put way too much on the table. Anyway, Parker Burgess is behind the bench on Bublé's team. And coming off the game yesterday, I chatted with him as well about, trying to keep everyone working hard and keep the ship going in the right direction. At least not losing ground while you wait for guys like Ryan Lynn and Mathis Preston and others to come back in the lineup. Parker Burgess.
Yeah, I mean, we're going through, it's a tough position to be in at times with injuries and being a younger team with youth. But, you know, our guys are growing every day and learning, and sometimes the results don't necessarily follow. But we've seen steps in the right direction. Tonight, a little bit frustrating. Like, we're in the game. We have a really good second period. And then we showed our immaturity, and we took penalties, and we didn't really give ourselves a chance. And that's unacceptable for our group to put ourselves in that spot. And, again, like, learning and growing from it. But, yeah, I mean, I'm proud of a lot of the guys kind of stepping up. And, again, this is, you know, you have to look at it from the macro perspective and, where this team's going in the future. And we're trying to establish some of those things. So, yeah, steps in the right direction.
Work ethic all the time, though, is something every team needs. You guys have it, despite the lack of some of your offensive players.
Yeah, I mean, the two things we talk to our guys all the time, what we can control is our effort and our attitude. And I would say, you know, we're working on the consistency piece a little bit, but overall, I've been encouraged with the work ethic, the attitude, the growth mindset every single day. And, yeah, we just got to keep moving forward.
I don't want to leave a lot of guys off the plate here, but who stands out to you?
I think guys like, you know, Brett Olson has taken steps in the right direction. Blake Chorney, some of those younger guys, Colton Gerois, Joe Ginla, some of the guys we've gotten in the trades. It'd be nice when we get Ryan back and we get Mathis back. But, yeah, it's just younger guys have been thrust into a more elevated role. And, it's not a perfect process, but they're learning and kind of growing every day.
I wanted to ask you about Chorney, the 16-year-old who took on, I think it was Carson the other night, a week ago, a 19-year-old, if my math is correct. Yep. Like, he challenged him as far as I know. Otherwise, I couldn't figure out why the 19-year-old's going with him. That being the case, what does that mean to the guys, that your 16-year-old has that much leadership?
Yeah, Blake's got a tremendous amount of character and care level. He's a great hockey player, but he's a great teammate, too, and he's willing to step up in those moments. He scored a big goal today, and his future is really bright for us.
Yeah, he's psyched up after scoring the goal for sure. The prospects game on Wednesday night, what does it mean, do you think, for your players that are involved in that to be involved in that?
I think they're very honored. You know, I know it's a disappointing for Mathis and for Ryan that they don't get to participate in it, but for Tobias and Joe and Brett, it'll be just a good measuring stick playing in front of a lot of scouts. I know they're excited. I'm excited to be on the bench with them, so it should be a really fun event.
Which bench? You're on the west bench?
I'm on the west bench.
So you got Buble? Buble's on the west bench?
Yep. Coach Buble. I'll let him run the lines and some of the X's and O's.
I think he's just going to stand there and look good, which he does well anyway. But just the maturing process of some of your younger players, too. And does it hurt the draft selection, shall we say, of a Lynn and a Mathis Preston, the fact that they're not playing in this game? Shouldn't scouts already know these guys?
Yeah, I mean, their sample sizes, you know, these scouts have been tracking these guys since they were, you know, 15-year-olds. So I think missing one all-star game isn't the end of the world for them. They know that. I think they're disappointed just because they wanted to be able to showcase themselves, represent the organization. But we'll get them back, and they'll have more games to play for sure.
Parker Burgess trying to get his team healthy. He'll be behind the bench of the prospects game tomorrow night. He'll be bumping shoulders with Michael Buble. Buble teach him a thing or two about, maybe by the end of the day, Buble will know more about coaching, and Burgess maybe will know more about singing. They could work together. There could be a duo here. I think one of the two ought to sing the national anthem at a Giants game, by the way. I don't know who we'd have more luck with, but I mean, Buble should be singing a national anthem. If not, teach Parker Burgess or Drew Scott's mother to sing the anthem. You could do a quartet. Get them all up there. Scott, his mother, Buble, and Burgess. I would pay to see that. Prospect game tomorrow night. I might be the only one who'd pay to see that. Prospect game tomorrow night, and then the Giants, as mentioned, they are back at it on their own home ice, home turf, on the 21st, hosting Portland. They're in Spokane on Friday the 20th, too. I don't want to drop that game. I think I kind of dropped that game out of the mix a little earlier when I was talking. I was just telling you what the home game is, but they're on road. They're on the road on Friday night, and you can watch that on Victory and Victory Plus, the app. Giants are in Spokane on Friday night, and then back home on Saturday, Portland. Cam Neely's old Portland Winterhawks are at the LEC. That's on Saturday night. Be there. Don't you dare not be there. We'll all be there. Be a big packed crowd. And tomorrow night, the prospect game as well is going to be a lot of fun. Hey, thanks for joining us tonight. We just had Parker Burgess on. You had Joe Ginla. We heard from Dan Neer and Little Ron Toigo. Toigs, as I call him, was early in the program. Bill Wilms, too. Lots of people. Big show tonight. And of course, Jack the Giant, my bouncer, running shotgun, as always. Thank you, Jack, buddy. Could not, in fact, would not dare do it without you.
Oh, ho, ho.
He's Jack the Giant. Giants coming off a weekend of a 3-2 victory in a shootout way back on Friday night. 3-4 for the Giants. 3-2 over Penticton in the shootout. And then got thumped 8-2 in Kelowna on Saturday night in a hard-fought battle, as they say. 3-1 with an empty netter for Seattle yesterday at the LEC, and they held Cameron Schmidt off the scoreboard. I thought Cameron Schmidt was going to go crazy. I thought he was going to go Cameron Schmidt crazy. Bat Schmidt crazy is what I was expecting. And he had one breakaway, too. Kelton Pine made a terrific save. Schmidt on the breakaway, shorthanded. You thought, he's going to score. He went five-hole, and it was a terrific five-hole save from Pine, who managed to keep the puck out of the net at the same time. So Schmidt held off the scoreboard. Yesterday did not go bat Schmidt crazy as one would have expected, but coming back to Vancouver as well, Giants held them off the scoreboard, Seattle 3-1. So the Giants have a 3-2 win, an 8-2 loss, and a 3-1 loss over the weekend. They're in Spokane Friday night. They're hosting Portland on Saturday. I'm Brooke. That was Jack the Giant. You heard everybody else. Thank you for joining us here on the Tuesday night edition, White Spot Vancouver Giants this week on Sportsnet 650, the mighty 650, as it's well known from coast to coast and sea to shining sea. This is the Sportsnet Radio Network.